Hello guys, and welcome to the 6th of May.
Yeah, 6th.
The 6th of May edition of the NFL Sunday Supplement. A bit of a week off last week. Turns out, live podcast. A bit more difficult than we thought. So we're a bit late with this, but I'm sure you'll forgive us. So obviously, the draft is the big topic. I mean, just happened. A lot of teams got a lot better. Some teams made some questionable decisions. What was the first thing that really jumped out to you guys about this year's draft?
The trades.
Yeah, there were a lot of those.
A lot of those, yeah.
Are you chappers?
For me, actually, when they called out the names without actually pointing to the players first, that was a nice one. Got a few shocks in. It was much more
enjoyable to watch not knowing the picks.
And it went so much quicker as well this year than previous years.
Yeah, the pace was something that really surprised me. Although I suppose with that many trades, you know, if a team's trading, they know who they're picking. So I suppose that probably did help. I mean, the first round was just full of them.
Oh, yeah. It
was absolutely shocking. I'd never seen even close to this many trades in the top 10 in particular. They're an absolute load. How many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams that that picked in different positions as to where they finished last year. I thought there were a couple of good ones in there. The Jags, in particular, I thought had to make that trade to get up. They needed a weapon, and I've been raving about Blackmon for a while. I think he's a really good pickup. They didn't give up much.
I think the questionable trade is the Browns one. I think they could have stayed where they were and still got Trent Richardson.
No, I think someone else would have came. I think Tampa Bay would have been looking at that one.
Well, from what the Bucks have said, now obviously they're going to say this afterwards, Barron was the guy they'd been targeting all along, and they would have picked him 5th. Considering they did trade up for Doug Martin, I don't know whether you'd consider it something, but I don't think they had to, personally. I think the Bucks were happy where they were. They got that trade. I get why the Browns had to do it, because there was a lot of word, especially about the Jets as well, wanting to trade a load to go up and get him. They needed weapons. I suppose they got one. And then, I suppose, actually, that's another interesting one. They picked up Brandon Weeden later in the round. Did you guys see him going in the first?
No, I
thought he was an early second guy. I do feel sorry for Colt McCoy though. He must have been thinking, oh great, they've given me a weapon, and then suddenly I've lost my job.
Yeah, that was a strange thing. See all these reports, is the Colt McCoy done? Well, of course he's done. You don't draft a quarterback in the first round, especially a 28 year old, to not play them. It's not like you can sit him for a couple of years until he's ready, because he'll be 30, so he's going to probably play day one. I suppose while we're on that subject, what other quarterbacks do you think are going to start day one this year?
Well, it's obvious Andrew Luck will, as will Rob Griffin. Questionable has to be Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
I can see him, the earliest I can see him starting is after the bye, if the Dolphins don't get off to a particularly good start.
Oh, you've heard a lot of talk that they're really considering playing in week one.
Well, Philbin said it's an open competition, but after the year Matt Moore had last year, and then he got the experience of David Garrard, it's hard to see Tannehill really coming in with the lack of playing experience he's had in college.
Yeah, he's got that slight leg up with the system, but I don't think it's quite as significant an advantage as some maybe make out. I don't think it's a great idea to start him day one, to be honest, but I think they may.
Well, it's another hard schedule we've got this year. We are rebuilding. We could sort of blood him a little bit earlier than before.
Yeah.
Who knows? He's got a pretty good O-line in front of him this year, especially with the pickup of John Martin filling that right tackle slot.
Yeah, I suppose. So, while we're there, actually, might as well talk. I thought the O-line really fell in this draft. A lot of the players. I mean, you look at where DeCastro, Riley Reiff, John Martin, Peter Kons are all picked. We're talking about some guys. Some of these guys were being talked about as top 10 picks early on in the process.
Now, Steelers got an absolute steal.
Yeah, the Steelers
absolutely
got a gift there. With DeCastro and Peter Kons, all the way to Atlanta in the second.
Yeah.
I thought Baltimore would really consider taking him, but I suppose there were some injury worries, apparently some temperament concerns, and as well as that, it just showed that the interior of the O-line, clearly those positions are just not that valued at the top of the draft. Because to me, as I've been saying for a while, DeCastro was to me one of the top 5 prospects in this draft, and to go all the way down at 24 just shows how. Yeah, especially when you're talking, there were teams that passed him up like Chicago, even Tennessee could have done with a right guard. You got the Chargers, whose O-line is a mess. All these teams passed on him, especially because some of them took projects. You look like Shea McClellan for the Bears, not entirely sure how he fits in there. And then you've got Kendall Wright, solid pick, but you're not sure how much he's going to contribute early on. Whereas you knew with, I think you know with a guard, you can just plug him in day one,
oh, yeah,
and you
definitely
get that production. So it really, really concerned me that he fell that far. It just made me question a lot of front offices. I mean, I'm shocked John Martin fell where he did. One of the things I've heard is concerns about like the level of competition because of how dominant Stanford were. Perhaps he wasn't as good as he looked on tape. But we'll see. He's a great pick to put a right tackle alongside from Jake Long. Really.
Oh, I'm extremely happy about it. I was a bit bummed out with the fact we did pick Tannehill so damn high.
Yeah.
We didn't even make an attempt to trade up and try and grab another weapon, but John Martin II really helped, and after that I think we had a pretty decent draft in the end.
Yeah, I thought the Dolphins did a surprisingly good job, picked up a couple of players that were falling. I mean, Lamar Miller could end up being a gift considering where they got him.
Well, there's no real risk at number four. We didn't exactly trade away a lot for it either, so.
Exactly, top of the fourth round, you know, if you get something out of him, great. If not,
we still got Daniel Thomas there as a second rounder.
A few options at back. The problem is, of course, you don't have the options at receiver. What do you think about the Dolphins not really targeting anyone high up?
To me, I still believe Philbin when he says he wants to spread the offense. We've now got three running backs I can see switching quite a lot in: Bush, Miller, Thomas. We've got two young tight ends in Charles Clay, and we've got this new guy, Michael Egnell. I haven't really seen a lot of him.
Yeah.
Big guy though, 6'5", weighs over 200 pounds. And then we picked up two lads later on who I'm really impressed with: BJ Cunningham and Rashard Matthews.
Yeah,
I believe. Yeah, I looked at their college tapes. I'm quite impressed. I'm surprised they fell as far as they did.
Yeah,
but
it was really surprising me that the O line in general. I mean, the amount of tackles that went into the second round in the end was a real shock. The fact that Reef was available to the Lions as well, I mean, that's a great pick for them. They needed a tackle really badly to replace Jeff Backus in a couple of years, and they can just plug him in at on the right side now. He'd be an upgrade over Gosda Sherilus, who really hasn't panned out the way they'd hoped there. So I thought, because of that slide, some teams ended up getting some absolute gifts. I would always say the draft shows why some of the teams are always around the bottom, picking in the sort of top 10. I mean, you look at some real questionable picks for me from the first round. I don't know what Seattle were doing with Bruce Irvin.
No, that was
that was an odd pick. The Niners was the strangest one. I did not see, was it Jefferson?
Niners, no, it was
AJ something.
Yeah, see, that kind of tells you everything. We can't remember the damn guy's name.
AJ Jenkins, that's the one. I mean, he's a speed guy. From everything I've seen, he was, you know, projected as a late second, early third guy.
Yeah.
I think there definitely were better receivers on the board, and I'm not even sure receiver was a big need for that team. So that really jumped out at me. Those were two strange picks. But I guess it just shows you a lot of like character concerns. You look at a lot of the guys that were in day two, or even a guy like Vontaze Burfict, who ended up going undrafted. Denard ended up going in, what, the 7th?
Burfict has been picked up now.
Yeah, he's gone to the Bengals.
Yeah.
It's just,
oh, Bengals, I think they had the best draft the entire lot.
And a great draft.
Fantastic draft. As we said this last year, if they could have one more very good, nail another draft, they can be a dominant team for years, and I think they have.
They could be. It's really difficult to Bengals. They've done this before. Early in, when Marvin Lewis first got there, and Carson Palmer was looking like Peyton Manning Mac 2, and then somehow they find a way of exploding. And I suppose they've got some questionable guys this year.
Devin Still, Drake Kirkpatrick, Mohamed Sanu, and then they got Burfict as well.
Yeah, and you look at, I suppose, another team that went that route was... I had it. Picked up some dodgy players. I'll remember it in a minute. But I mean, this is the kind of thing we've seen. The Rams. The Rams took some big risks. I mean, they had a ton of picks in the end because of all the trading round they did. They went and got guy for who played at Florida. I'm bad with names today. It's the draft. I'm all named out.
Are you talking first round?
Nah, top of the second. Because they got Quick with Brian Quick with a first, and then they got the corner. I can't believe I've forgotten him. A load of questions about him. Generous Jenkins. That's the one.
That's it. Yeah.
So yeah, they've got some questionable players. I mean, they probably had to take those risks because that is a team in need of talent everywhere. I figure that roster is really, really bare. So
yeah, they didn't get that blue chip player that they could have had.
I know
they could have had one of
the. That's
five.
Why I was very surprised when they traded down with that first pick because they didn't really get much. I mean, another second's all well and good, but you're missing out on one of those top prospects, and they settled for Brockers in the end, who I'm not all that confident about. I think he's a little one-dimensional at the moment. I'm not sure he's explosive enough. But they got some good pass rushers there, so maybe they just need a run plugger. I thought they should have went for Claiborne, really. I mean, why take Generous Jenkins with that second you pick up when you could have just took Claiborne, who I view as much more of a sure thing, and just go with that. I mean, Jenkins actually, in terms of his ability, isn't much of a downgrade, I suppose, from Claiborne. But with those questions, I suppose Fish has had those guys before, though.
Yeah.
Although it didn't really work out with Vince Young or Pac-Man Jones. They both cost the Titans a high first round pick in the end. So, I mean, well, we might as well go through this with sort of team by team, I guess.
Yeah.
Team efficient way of doing it. So, the Colts, that first pick, that wasn't there. Too unpredictable in the end, was it?
No, not really. It's been end of the season. Everyone's pretty much nailed that one on the head.
Yeah, well,
I'd say Donnie's best to try and keep things interesting on Twitter, but
yeah.
Who bought it really?
No one I think ever bought into. I thought it was interesting they went and got the two top receiving tight ends in the draft to give him, maybe try and replicate a bit of what the Patriots are doing. Figure him and Kobe Fleener, they should be able to pick it up right from the off.
Oh yeah, they gave Andrew Gart the perfect safety blanket. Gave him his favourite guy from college.
Yeah, I thought the T.Y. Hilton pick was a good one because he brings speed to that offence. He'll probably be able to replace Pierre Garçon early in, like the sort of things he was used for. So that'll be an interesting one. I actually really like the draft they had because they got a lot of good players at the positions that were available to them. And also, they had so many needs that, frankly, they could afford to just look at best player on the board and go for him. But, I mean, they got a lot of help. They clearly looked for a lot of offensive players this draft, I think. How many defenders did they pick? One?
Two.
Yeah, two defenders, all the rest for the offense. So they've done the right thing, I think. You have to build that franchise around Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I have no idea how their D's going to look next year. I actually suspected they were going to go very D heavy to try and get players to fit Pagano's scheme, but turns out Andrew Luck's just got a bunch of weapons, probably grow with a couple of them. I mean, as I said, the Hilton pick, the tight end picks, I would be very happy with those if I was a Colts fan. So I actually thought they had one of the better drafts in the league. I've not heard too many people talk about it.
I love some of the names they picked up as well. They got Lavon Brazil from Ohio, and then they got Tim Fugger from Vanderbilt.
Tim Fugger is
fantastic. Great name.
I want a defensive end to go around fugging people. It's just a genius name. Then we'll move on. What was supposed to be the team with the second pick with the Rams. Obviously, they end up with an absolute load of picks, trading down twice in the first, and one of those being the bounty that they got from the Redskins. I'm not a huge fan of the Brockers pick. Quick, I thought there were better receivers available on the board then. And Jenkins, solid pick, I couldn't argue with that. And then after that, I thought there were some strange ones. I mean, I don't really like Pede from Cincy too much for that offense, but we'll see how that works. I don't look at him as a good replacement for Steven Jackson, but they'll try and work him in. Again, it's a team with so many needs, but when I look through the draft, considering they had so many picks, there's not a huge amount that jumps out at me.
No, not really. It's on the wide receiver front, you feel they could have gotten one of the better guys.
Yeah,
really, they could have had enough picks. They could have even traded up and tried to get someone like a Kendall Wright or someone different.
They had a lot of options, and I didn't think Quick was a great selection. They clearly tried to rebuild the D, I think. They'll probably look a lot more offence next year, so I guess they're going to hope Sam Bradford can just take another year behind that O-line with the receivers he's got and not get David Card. But I thought it was one of the more underwhelming drafts. I remember when we were sat here during that first round thinking they could really load up with the amount of selections they had in the second round. But I don't think it really ended up that way. I look at them more as role players. I think this is a team that needs starters. Should we move on from there? The Vikings. Oh, you got to give them a good grade, I suppose, just for that trade they managed to pull off to go down a spot and get the guy everyone knew they were likely to get. So they got 3 picks out of that.
They had done a good job.
Yeah. Had to take Khalil. As we've said, that was a no-brainer regardless of what Spielman was trying to say before the draft. The trade up for Harrison Smith is a difficult one because there just weren't many safeties available in the draft, and their secondary is horrible. So while you can question them trading up for him, probably overdrafting him, you can kind of understand why they've done it, so I wouldn't be too critical of that. But I thought they did a fairly good job. They got a lot of their needs covered. Getting a fullback in the fourth, that's a great thing. Adrian Peterson could do a good fullback.
Yeah.
I think you stick to the strengths of that team.
It.
Especially one that size, 6'5", 251 pounds.
Yep.
Big guy.
That'll be something to watch. And you've got Gerhardt behind him as well, so they could really try and power over some teams next year if they can get that O-line playing a little better. Not sure they went the right way with some of the later picks, but I'm guessing they were just going with the board and they're hoping some of these guys pan out. Like Wright from Arkansas was a player that I saw a fair bit of, and the issues you kind of have with him would be just worry that he's going to get hurt. I wouldn't be too happy because you've got that and you've got Percy Harvin. I think they're quite similar in terms of the way you'd use them. Harvin's a little more versatile, you can do anything with him, but they're two guys you can really move around and do some things with on offence. But I thought, it's probably quite a solid draft in the end. If they can get a couple of starters on offence out of it, then they'll probably be fairly happy with that. So then we've got the Browns. So what did you guys think of this one?
Well, Trent Richardson was a no-brainer. They lost Peyton Hillis, they needed that running back. And obviously,
they had to go offense. You feel that?
How Richardson looked last year, that's just going to help them a lot. Obviously, as you said earlier, Colt McCoy must have been jumping for joy when they got that pick.
Yep.
And then they got the other pick, and that was him done.
Yeah, I thought it was.
What do you think about the Whedon pick?
I think it's, if he can come in and start right away, then you can make all the throws. On tape, he does look like a first-round player. So I can buy it from that standpoint. They really needed.
He is old, though.
Yeah. Well, if you can get 5-6 good years out of him, then
I think you can get more.
6 good years.
I think you can get more, considering
no wear and tear, I suppose.
Well, some of the older quarterbacks we've seen in the league. Yeah, as long as he can keep himself fairly healthy, he's got a fairly good O-line in front of him. It's not terrible.
No, they're certainly worse. The only issue I've got with this draft is, where are the receivers?
Yeah.
That's the biggest
thing. I thought they were going to go get quite a few receivers, especially after the Whedon pick. I thought, okay, they're going to look to target some receivers now.
Like, I get that they've got the tackle because they needed a
bookend. Well, they need that.
Thomas badly.
Yeah.
I thought the need at receiver is huge.
I mean, they picked up Travaris Benjamin in the fourth round, but I haven't seen literally anything of him. I don't know what he's like, and granted, he went in the fourth round, he's not going to be
talking slot
a big
receiver
weapon. Yeah.
The problem is they don't have the guys outside.
Well, yeah, I think that's where you need to start if you're going to start on receiver.
Yeah, and again, they're a team that struggles getting pass rush as well, and they didn't really do anything to address that. So I thought two of the bigger needs that they had, whilst I like the two early picks, and the Whedon one, I just probably rate Whedon a bit higher than some other people. I thought he was really solid.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma State, although it probably did help that he had Blackman.
I think.
But it's I don't think you can grade this draft sort of looking at it from for next year. Clearly they're looking more big picture, I figure.
Yeah, definitely.
I think if they were looking big picture, they've gone about the wrong way. They should have given Colt McCoy another weapon rather than bringing Brandon Whedon. And if they still stank next year, go for one of the top rated quarterbacks.
Well,
so I think the Browns are still going to be up there. I think they'll be. Within,
I think they're going to be
within,
more either way. They're in a brutal division.
That's why I can kind of understand the D picks as well.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, it's just the lack of pass rush is a real. I mean, they can hope that Jabal Sheard plays really well all season, because last year he started like house on fire and then just slowed down by the mid season.
Yeah.
Was just a non-factor for the final half, so I think it's a long-term prospect. I can get that, you know, probably if you're going to be poor, you can probably target a QB next year where there are some better guys. But I mean, who would you have targeted at receiver after that? Because the Titans have just picked up Kendall Wright.
Yeah.
What receivers were really available?
But you had Stephen Hill left, didn't you?
Stephen Hill. Could have got Alshon Jeffery. I mean, you probably wouldn't feel great.
See, I thought the Browns. I thought that was where Stephen Hill was going to go. I thought he would have gone to the Browns.
Yeah, I could have saw it happening. He ended up going a lot later than some people thought.
Yeah,
but
everyone thought he was going to be that late first rounder.
Yeah, Jets traded up a fair bit to get him, though.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. He might even start for the Jets, word is. Which is certainly interesting. I guess they don't want to go the Braylon Edwards route again.
No. Not.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm probably going to wait a couple of years before I really judge this draft from Cincy Cleveland. If Whedon works out, then it all looks gravy.
Yeah,
ultimately, when you take a quarterback, if the quarterback works out, the rest of the draft will be forgotten. You got a quarterback, everyone's happy. So then we'll move on to my Buccaneers. I thought we had one of the better drafts in the league.
I thought you had a fantastic draft, especially, you know, your first, say, three picks. They're the ones that stand out to me a lot.
Yeah. I was pretty much set up that we were going to take Claiborne. So I was surprised to see him trade back. They could do with the extra pick because that team has so many holes, especially defensively, but that was really where the team went with the draft. That's why I was happy, man.
The thing is, if you look at the safeties in the league now, there aren't really standout guys anymore.
There's not a huge amount. I mean, you look at the NFC, you think Adrian Wilson was really good last year.
Yeah.
I don't know if Nick Collins is going to play again. If not, then
it's just safety play in general last year was not great.
Yeah, and Barron's a versatile guy. He's probably a better tackler, judging by his college tape, than anyone on the Bucks last season.
And you need that help in secondary, especially being in the division you're in.
Yeah, I think a safety as well is a more sort of dynamic player than a corner in terms of being able to change games. Now, obviously, it's usually the special guys that do that. Yeah, he's got that kind of ability, I think.
Well, Mayock absolutely loves him. He says he'll be nothing less than a Pro Bowl safety.
Yeah, I'm not quite that crazy about him, but I was very happy with the pick just because it may not be Claiborne, but you need secondary help. And if they're going to still run some of those sort of cover two concepts, they don't really need a top level corner because you're playing zone all day. So you don't the safety would probably be the more important cog. And apparently he's a real leader and all that good mumbo jumbo stuff. The Doug Martin pick I was incredibly happy with, as you guys witnessed.
Yeah.
Someone
yeah,
I wanted the Bucks to pick up from, you know, real early in the process. I saw the guy, reminds me of Matt Forte. Love me some Matt Forte, so.
Oh, no one would turn down a Matt Forte caliber bloody running back, so. No, great pick.
Yeah,
good,
he'll bring up versatility. He'll start day one. No way Blunt is going to start.
Just the tape on him as well, is just this Forte all over.
Yeah, he's all impressive. Over. He can receive. Solid runner, in, inside and out, tough enough. I think that was a great pick. Training up for Lavonte David made perfect sense just because he fits the scheme.
Yeah.
Again, and Tampa needed linebackers desperately, so they went and got one, then they went and got Good in round five. Good may not have to play. That's probably the advantage. I mean, I expect David, again, he'll start day one. I think Quincy will start, and they'll probably have keep Mason Foster in the middle, but having Good there will be someone who's ready to step in if he's any of those three guys underperform, he could potentially step in there. They finally got a corner, got fairly good size considering the scheme we run, so you kind of hope he might be able to step in. And let's face it, the corner position needs a lot of help, so he'll have a chance. Another running back, and a tight end. All positions are need. The only thing I don't like is that they didn't get a right tackle, because I really still am unhappy with True Blood. But other than that, great draft. I think probably one of the better ones in the league. And they traded this year.
Yeah.
That's something you haven't seen from Tampa too often.
Yeah.
I blame Bill Belichick, to be honest.
Should go to Jacksonville Jaguars. They were the next ones, weren't they?
Yeah. And I have one thing to say about Jags. Why the heck would you take a punter in round 3?
Oh, God.
I mean, I know they punt a lot in Jacksonville. He'll get a lot of work, but... I mean, if you pick him in the third round, he has to end up like the best punter in the league to even validate that pick. I mean, he has to be...
They traded up.
Who was the sixth pick? Was it Jacksonville?
Jags were supposed to be sixth, but...
No, sixth originally was the Redskins, so we have gone slightly out of order.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, anyway, that's on us. Either way, I'm going to carry on saying this. Yeah, why would you take a punter in round 3?
It's shocking, because Jacksonville, they're in real trouble of not filling their... not getting bums on seats.
Yeah,
they need some hope, and they go and do that in the third. It's just...
If you're a really good team... If you are rock solid and you do not have many needs, you can possibly justify it. And the fact his name is Anger makes it even better, because that's all the Jacksonville fans would have had at the time. Anger. Anger at anger.
I mean, look at the players that were still around in round 3. It was incredible. But hey, and they got a Brandon Marshall as well.
They should be worried about that.
But it's not an outside linebacker. He has no need to really touch the ball. He's supposed to just hit. So,
yeah. Well, we might be out of order. We might as well finish the Jags while we're here. Blackman Pig, as I've said, totally for that. They had to do it. He was, as far as I'm concerned, by far and away the best prospect in the draft at the position.
Mm.
Blaine Gabbert needs all the help he can get to try and show he is a legitimate player.
As if he can get it to Blackman.
Yeah. Well, that'll be the question. But I mean, they improved. Andre Branch is also a great pick, because they needed a pass rusher, and that's essentially all he has shown to be.
Well, that was my favourite pick of theirs. I really wanted Andre Branch.
Mm.
I really wanted him, but hey, he's gone to Jacksonville. He's staying in Florida, I guess.
Yeah, bit of a one-year wonder, but you don't feel necessarily so bad about that in the second round, because he's got a lot of upside.
Not yet.
I mean, I really liked their draft, apart from that punter pick. If they'd went and got themselves like a good tackle or something in that, you know, that space, then they'd have had a great looking draft. Alright, the Redskins. Now, they had one of the more interesting ones, I suppose. I don't get the Cousins pick particularly. Obviously, RG3, that was a given.
Yeah.
They needed to get themselves some O-line help. I mean, the picks make sense, just the Cousins one really confused me. And I'm still not entirely sure what that offense is going to look like. Because they have a real mishmash of running backs there.
They're one of these teams that are building for future, but still the draft, the way they've done it is they've just gone all over the board. They haven't targeted one sort of one area.
Like,
you've seen a lot of
teams
offense,
do. Because you look at that, you've got the two QBs, the two guards, the running back, the tackles. They want to fix the O-line and then a couple of DBs to finish off. So I mean, the secondary needed some reinforcements, because they're getting up there and they're not that good in the first place. The Cousins one was the only one I was really questioning, because I thought maybe get a younger receiver, because I don't think all the guys they've got will pan out.
Yeah.
It's not a bad draft. Just it all hinges on RG3, let's face it.
Things like with that Cousins pick, say Robert Griffin has a bad start, doesn't exactly play like everyone thinks he will, does that put a little bit more pressure now they've actually got another quarterback so high?
But I mean, when you've given up that much, RG3 is going to be given the season. The only way I can see Cousins playing is if he gets injured. Even if he's terrible, they'll probably say, rookie lumps on a what will probably not be considered a very good offense, unless RG3 makes it into one.
Mm.
They'll just go, he was on a bad team, rookie season, these things will happen. So we'll see how that goes. Alright, on to your Dolphins. We'll let you get started with this.
Oh,
I've already hinted at some of it.
Such a horror. This is probably one of the worst off seasons I've gone through as a fan, waiting all this time for this draft, and it's just made me feel so much better. Such a good draft, I love it. Ryan Tannehill, I wasn't exactly the most pleased person. I wasn't exactly thrilled at it. I still think we drafted him way too high, but hey, I suppose we're in a good position. We've got a good quarterback coach in Philbin. We've got the guy who actually knew him from college. Jeff Irons not the type of guy who'll bow to pressure necessarily, although this could be...
No, he's not.
This could be his last year if this doesn't work out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The fans will demand it more so than they already are.
Yeah, that's actually calmed down quite a lot now after this draft, which is nice. John Martin, my favourite pick of the entire of our entire draft. Loved it. We needed right side help so bad. And the fact we've got him, Long, Pouncey in that O-line makes me feel a hell of a lot better.
Yeah, you'd hope that'd be a good group going forward.
Yeah. Olivier Vernon, questionable. I don't see much of him, but I guess he'll be really developmental.
Yeah, that's essentially
really
what it is. You're probably brought in pass rush situations his rookie year. It was a need. They need to get someone besides Cameron Wake that can get to the quarterback. He's got the sort of size to be versatile enough for your guy's scheme.
Yeah, to be we were running low on defensive ends as well, with Langford going and Philip Merlin being cut.
Yeah, I mean the Lamar Miller pick as well was just great value.
Oh, that was a great pick. I didn't hear about that until much, much later into the night. I found out we went up and got him. Mike Legnew, that tight end I was on about, 6'5", 252 pounds, seems like a bit of a freak athlete, but his blocking's awful.
If you've ever seen the Missouri offense, it's pretty much the most pure form of the spread that there is. There is no blocking whatsoever outside the five linemen, their tight ends are just pure receivers.
I better hope we keep hold of Fasano and Clay because they can actually block.
Yeah.
So maybe this guy will just...
Fasano never gets enough credit for his blocking. But Dolphins had a solid draft. But again, as I said, when you draft a QB, especially in the first round, the whole draft is going to be judged on that.
Then a bit later on, I was really happy with the two wideouts we got. We got from Nevada, Rishard Matthews, and Michigan State's BJ Cunningham. I think they could have gone a lot earlier than what they did. So I'm quite happy with that. And then another one of my favourite names, Josh Kadu, linebacker from the Ducks. Love it, great name.
Well, you needed a pursuit backer because I didn't think there was enough speed in the Dolphins group last year. Dansby's got the sort of sideline to sideline speed. But
yeah, then after that we've got Bennett. Koemisi's been arrested. I don't know what he'll play next year if he comes back. So yeah, we did need more 4-3 sort of linebackers. So I think he'll do all right.
Yeah, I thought it was a fairly solid draft considering. The Panthers, I thought these guys did a really, really good job early on in the draft. Quetschley, player I rated really high. Him next to John Beeson should be a really, really good pairing. And the fact he's so good in coverage is obviously a huge bonus when you're in the NFC South, where they fling the ball around a lot down there. Sile Tolu could have went a little earlier. I think he's going to play guard. He played in a Division II college and basically just dominated everybody. So you never really know how these guys are going to end up. I figure that's probably why he went in the second round, because of the level of competition. He just dominated them. And then after that, he just did a good job addressing needs. Again, I thought they could have went receiver earlier, because I think you've got Steve Smith and that's it. Greg Olsen had a good season last year, but I wouldn't feel great about the receiving core there. But they did a good job with some needs. Got a rotational defensive end in there. Solid draft, nothing spectacular. But I am annoyed about the question pick. It's him and Beeson.
Yeah. I was really impressed with the Panthers, the fact they didn't bite and go for Dontari Poe, because they're a team that could have really done with him.
They could have.
Interior help, but they went with a safer option, smarter option, to Quetschley. So
yeah, they went with a player that you know can contribute day one and should be rock solid. Whereas Poe is all upside. You know, you got the bottom is he could contribute nothing to your franchise whatsoever. So high bust potential. I think ultimately on Poe quickly, going to Kansas City is probably ideal, because he's playing the nose tackle position there. You know, in Carolina he'd have been expected to do a bit more than just plug the run. Whereas in KC, all he's got to do, it's probably a bit easier to teach someone to play nose tackle than to pass rush. he'll just be a pure run stuffer in KC. And they've got a couple of guys across from him in Dorsey and Jackson who are both quite good at that as well. So they could be really hard to run on next year. So yeah, side draft from them. And then you got the Bills, who people seem to be surprising quite about. These guys are actually my dark horse for that division next year.
They had a very active off-season. The amount of pass rush they brought in Mario Williams.
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job in getting Mario Williams. Of course, I thought that was their primary need before then. Getting Gilmore to me made perfect sense in terms of the teams they're going to have to face next year. If you're playing against the Pats every year, you need corners, and frankly, they don't have too many guys at the position already. You can never have too many these days. And then the other position I thought their tight would have been tackle, and then they got Cordy Glenn as he fell in the second, and he's versatile as well, so that was a great pick on their part. So I think they're going to be a real good team.
One pick I'm actually really annoyed they got was Nigel Bradham in the fourth round. I've seen some of his tapes from Florida.
Yeah.
God damn, he hits hard.
I watched Florida State. He's a real, real good run plugger, I think. I would worry about him in coverage because he does seem to look a little bit lost, but I don't think he's going to be a first day starter. He'll develop a bit first. They've got the speed receiver in Graham, which I understand they need the speed guy, even if they did reach for him a little, I suppose. But I thought they had a solid draft, and the areas that they did target, they kind of double dipped. So, you know, if one doesn't pan out, at least you got someone else there.
Yeah.
So you always figure if you draft two guys to the same position, at least one of them should be a valid contributor. I think we'll probably just leave it at the top 10 for now. Analyse the other teams
week.
A little bit later.
Yeah.
Yeah, otherwise we're just going to be here all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. So we'll just move on to some of the other news. I suppose the big thing I heard this week, and I'm very unhappy with this.
I'm not happy with this.
I'm very unhappy. Terrell Suggs done for the season.
Oh, no,
done for the season. Harbour has come out.
He might be back.
Yeah, Harbour has come out and said he might be back during the year. He expects him to be back.
Well, he'll be
year.
On the pup list for yeah. sure. He might be able to play around mid-season, but I mean, they do dramatize things on the NFL site. They said the potential, if he does come back to play this year, he could be risking his career.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Well, there's a degree of truth to that when a player plays every week.
It's true.
So, it really hurts that team. I don't think they're. You know, it's impossible for them to recover, but they were probably most people's favourites for that division before this happened. Now you probably have to favour the Steelers, because who else really do they have that gives consistent pass rush there in Baltimore?
No,
silence says it all, really.
There's no there really isn't anyone else.
Not really. Well, we've got guys like Terrence Cody.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just really sort of hold up the offensive line and allow Suggs to go and everyone else to get back around them. But
yeah, as well as that, though, I think people don't often mention that Suggs is one of the best run players against the run in the league at that position. He is rock solid at that. So they're going to miss him. You can't just replace a player that good. I mean, they got the rookie in the second round.
Oh, Upshaw.
Courtney Upshaw, who fell a bit. I suppose he's going to have to play a lot more snaps this year to try and replace him, but they may have some major pass rush issues in Baltimore. Do you guys agree? You think the Steelers now become favourites to win that division?
Yeah,
I actually thought the Steelers would win that division anyway. I liked what they'd done in the draft. They shored up their O-line a bit better. Ben Roethlisberger was probably doing cartwheels.
Yeah, who have they got running the ball?
Oh, good point. Yeah, because isn't Ryan Clark talking with other teams now as well?
Ryan Clark, yeah, apparently so. We'll see how things go, but yeah, I think it's going to be tough for the Ravens to replace him. Their D will still be good, because no one ever seems to be able to run consistently on that team. But I think it probably does put them out of that kind of top tier of AFC teams. Too many questions about them now. What other stuff has happened recently? I mean, obviously there's the Seau thing, not strictly NFL news. I suppose this is going to put more pressure on the NFL on the safety front, because there's been a few tragic events with these players in the last couple of years, players suffering from depression.
what post playing.
Yeah, it's coming a real hot topic issue. It's happened a lot over a small period of time, and it's probably the worst time it could happen for the NFL, because obviously they're doing this safety push. They're being sued by about 150 ex-players already, and this just makes it more difficult for them.
It must be difficult for players because they've gone through high school, been built up as these big players, and then they've gone through all that pressure during college. They've earned all the money and all the glamour and the fame of the NFL, all that camaraderie with their teams, and then suddenly it's all gone.
They have no direction.
They retire 5 years later. 5 years later, they might get considered for the Hall of Fame. But other than that, what else they got to do if they don't get a job being an analyst or anything like that? It's difficult for them.
Yeah, it was really surprising. Sal never struck his mind. He's one of them like classy guys in the league, did a lot of good work in community, that kind of thing. So it was perhaps even more surprising. But he was a guy that clearly loved the game. I mean, he stuck around, I think it was 19 years in the end.
Yeah, who did he play? He played a lot of years for the Chargers. Played for the Dolphins.
Had some fins toward the end of his career.
Yeah.
He was a hell of a player. He'll go straight into the Hall of Fame.
No doubt.
But, yeah, it's a strange one. And just keeps on coming for the NFL in terms of the concussion issues. Yeah, I feel bad for the sort of Chargers fans because he was loved there. So,
yeah.
Bad times. Oh, dear. That's one of my favourite headlines ever.
Oh, can we talk about this? The Long Ding has arrived.
It may be one of my favourite names in all of the NFL. Because it's a kicker. A kicker called Long Ding is just genius. Although I suppose you wouldn't really want his kicks to go Long Ding, because that to me sounds like they bounce off the upright.
For me, if he'd have been called Long Dong, it'd have been the greatest name in the history of the NFL. Long Dong would have been fantastic.
You can definitely brag when your name is Long Dong. That was another surprise in the draft, actually. All the pass rushers that fell. Because you think about Seattle had that pick at 15 after trading down, and there hadn't been a single outside pass rusher taken. You know, Ingram especially, he was originally being talked about as one of the top players in the draft, and then he ended up going at 19?
Yeah, went to San Diego. 18. Went to San Diego. 18.
Yeah, and I don't know, do you think it's just it was a bad bunch this year? Character questions, because I mean, Coples, you look at him physically, in terms of what he can do, he should have been a top 5 pick. But all of the group seem to have questions this year. Here is Bruce Irving, character issues, motor issues, may not be big enough to play end in the NFL. Coples, myriad of mental issues and effort issues. Similar sort of things with Melvin Ingram, players. Teams not knowing where to play some of these guys like Courtney Upshaw. I mean, he fell all the way into round 2.
I think that was the big issue. I think they just didn't know what to do with him. Too small to be a defensive end.
Yeah, well, the Chargers have got to be happy that they got Ingram.
Oh yeah, I'll be happy. They really need pass rush, so yeah, good one. I know Arnie was quite disappointed. He was the one player he really wanted.
Well, yeah,
Ingram.
Yep, yeah, Melvin.
Yep. But I'm happy who we got in the end.
Highlight tapes will do that.
Oh yeah. I hadn't seen much of him. I watched a bit of him, and he just seems like that fast guy we need on the offense. I'm surprised we didn't go defense, if I'm honest. I think that's where we really needed to fill the hole.
Yeah, well, you went deep for a lot of the rest of the draft.
Yes, five of the 7 picks were deep.
Yeah, so I mean, the problem with the Titans is they're one of them solid teams, as we said before, that just don't have that many gaping holes. It's a lot. It's mainly about improvement in certain areas.
Yeah.
It was an interesting one. Alright, how long have we been going? I think we should probably wrap this one up.
Yeah.
Been a huge amount. Oh no, we've got one more thing actually. The bounty suspensions have finally happened.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah, Vilmer out for the season, no big shock.
Yeah, Vilmer for the year. Anthony Hargrove, I think, was 3 games.
Will Smith for a long time.
4 games, and there was someone else suspended for 8, one of the backers. Fujita, I think. Well, no, it wasn't Fujita.
No, it was Fujita.
Was it Fujita?
Yeah, Fujita was out.
He doesn't even play for him anymore. I think he's with Cleveland. But
he's still part of it. He had to be banned.
Oh yeah, of course. how do you think this is going to go? Because obviously you've heard a lot from the NFLPA about there being a total lack of evidence against these guys. And originally, I suppose there was talks of it being like 24 to 28 players, and it's now just been whittled down to four. Do you think it's just they're using these guys to make an example? Because that's my suspicion.
Possibility. It's hard to say, when it's hard to imagine that on a roster that big that it comes down to four players.
What I want to know is, though, like with the players I share, have they actually polled all of these guys? I mean, like, do you think what the Saints have been doing is wrong? And all that, because, you know, the Players Association appears to be totally on the side of these players, who were clearly involved. It's not, you know, they tried to pass it off as, well, it was just Greg Williams. The players were just there and they couldn't really do anything about it. But I'm sure they could have. And they sounded pretty excited about the whole thing on the video that was heard. Which, again, that was fairly controversial.
Personally, I think the players just want them not suspended so they can get revenge next year.
Possibly.
That'd have been nice.
And I heard some news in Vilma. I don't know who's going to play middle backer for him now, because he really was the general of that D.
Yeah.
And they weren't very good on D anyway. Now they've lost their best pass rusher, even though Will Smith, I don't rate him all that highly personally. But they've lost, you know, him and Vilma are two of the better players on the D. So that's going to be, that could be a real mess of a position next year. That.
Do you think it's kind of wide open now for the other teams to take advantage of the Saints for this particular year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing that I was really thinking after the draft was, when you looked at, of course, with the Saints not having many picks, or the Falcons, was how much, you know, catching up the Bucks and the Panthers have actually been able to do this off-season. If you think about what the Bucks have added, on paper they're now significantly better than last year, and they're still a young team, so you kind of wonder when it's all going to click. So I kind of compare it to like the Packers a few years ago. They were horrible for a number of seasons, and then they had that final season with Favre where they got to the championship game, and they've been building through the draft all these years with all these young players, and then all of a sudden it just kind of clicked. I figure if that happens this year, you know, you've got that, the Bucks, the Panthers, depending what Cam does, are going to be better. And I don't know, the Saints have to deal with a lot of things this year. It could totally break that team. And the Falcons, they're getting old. I just don't think they're that good. They're like a well-coached, rock-solid team that won't make mistakes. But I think the playoff losses have shown they're not there. They're not that solid. Well, they're just not that overpowering in any sort of way. They're just so good around. They've got a good run game, a good pass game. You'd never say it's exceptional, any particular area of that team. So I think that division is going to be an interesting one this year. But, you know, it's that time of year. You can make a case for almost any team in the league if you do so right. So, yeah, I think that's enough there. Right, so thanks very much for listening, guys. We'll get another one up next week. Keep going through the draft. It's that time of the year, so things are starting to die down, giving us less to talk about.
Yeah.
So I feel we're probably going to have to drag the whole draft thing out for a couple more weeks. But as ever, feel free to get in touch with us. Same means as before. Have a great week.
Cool. See you there, guys.
Thanks, guys. Take care.